Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Father, we come before you this morning. Father, we're just thankful. We're grateful at just your goodness and the love that you have for each of us here. Father, as we come together this morning, may we just put the worries of the world aside, the things going on in our lives, any division that may come up. May we just set that aside and focus to you with arms wide open, remembering we're here to worship you, not us. This isn't for our glory, this is for yours. And Lord, may we just give it all to you this morning. Father, we thank you for our offering. May it be used for your glory. May it be used to share your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship this morning.
I meant to talk about this last week when I was here, but there's as we worship, there's going to be times where a person on stage is just going to be singing by themselves. You guys still need to sing with that person, all right? I'm just you would think it's a common sense thing, but we're not up here for solos. We're not up here for special music. We're here to lead people into worship. And so as we are singing, it might be a solo on stage, but I want you to join with that person, whoever is singing. Does that make sense to you guys? Excellent.
It is in my heart.
Hallelujah. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, but in your hearts regard Christ as Lord, as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that when you are accused, those who disparage your good conduct in Christ will be put to shame. What's being talked about in that passage is that we're called to always be ready to share our faith. That we're called to always be ready to stand firm on the word of God and to call people into relationship with our Savior. We're called to pray for the lost inside of our community. That's why we have the My3. It's supposed to be our daily reminder to pray for those who don't know Jesus. I've seen lives transform way too often. You know, last weekend we buried my uncle. And watching the impact that he had on so many lives and the faith that he held so dear was such a reminder of what we're all called to do. Making sure his concern was for his family, for his children, his grandchildren, that they all may learn what the Word of God says. And I want us to remember that we should be concerned for everyone around us, that they all come into relationship. That's why we do this. So at this time, what I want you to do is to think of those people in your lives that don't know Jesus, to lift them up in prayer. If your little My3 card's missing, we've got more out there. And don't be scared to take the last ones. I'll print more. And pray for those people each and every day, that they too may have the hope that is found in Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. Father, with heavy hearts. Father, we know so many people that are walking in this world without you, that don't have a relationship with you. That, Father, we just pray that you put us in those positions to have those conversations. That you put us in those positions where we can be the light in our world. Father, that we may be able to speak boldly, yet with gentleness and grace. Father, we know you're the one who pulls people to you. You're the one who calls them. And Father, we know you can break through the hardest of hearts. Lord, we all have people in our lives that need you. And we lift them up at this time into your hands. Father, we know we can't save anybody, but you can. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue.
I want to teach a new song to you this morning. It's one of those, if you've been looking at your bulletin, there's one of the songs that are listed in your bulletin. It's called Made for More.
Running my way, I know I am.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with open hearts and open minds. Lord, may we just learn more about who you are and the love that you have for each of us. May we grow in knowledge and wisdom. Father, may we hunger for more of you. God, I ask this morning that it's your words that are spoken and not mine. Lord, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Lord, I pray that it penetrates even the hardest of hearts and that people come to that saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to pick up on the Life of Christ series where we left off last time. And for anybody who wants to follow along, we're going to be over in John chapter 6 this morning, 34 through 51. You know, it's been an interesting chain of events to get us to the point that we're at right now. You know, over the last couple of weeks, we've seen Jesus feed the 5,000. We saw Jesus send his disciples out ahead of him. We saw Jesus walking on water. We even saw Jesus telling Peter that he can walk on water towards him. And we saw Jesus calm the storm around them. And we saw one of the most amazing things too. The disciples' understanding of Jesus started to change. They no longer just looked at him as a good teacher or a rabbi. They didn't just start looking at him as a prophet. For the first time, they came to the understanding that he is Lord, and they worshiped him. And after all of this had happened, Jesus came to the other side of the lake, and again, the crowds were looking for him, looking to hear what they could hear from him, looking to see what they could get from Jesus. So Jesus did what he often does, is he took the time and he started to teach the crowds. But he started teaching them about the everlasting bread that he is the everlasting bread, that he's not just there to sustain us, but he's the giver of life, and that is through Jesus we have all that we need. This gift that God gives us through Jesus isn't a gift that lasts for a moment. This wasn't speaking about bread that goes bad in a couple of days. This was a gift that will last for all eternity that Jesus was speaking about. And this was a hard concept for the people of Jesus' day to understand. Sometimes it's a hard one for us to understand, this idea of this eternity and that Jesus gives us this gift. You know, in the Jewish tradition, it was about finding a perfect mix of following the rules, making the right sacrifices, and doing all the right things to please God. It's no different than today. There are people among us and around us who are trying to figure out, what do we have to do to be saved? What do we need to do to be saved? What rules do we need to follow? What good deeds must we do to get into heaven? But Jesus is saying, none of that. All you need is me. That it's not about that. It's not about their good deeds. Not about the sacrifices. It's about him. And Jesus, as often does, spoke to them using metaphors and examples that were relevant to their time. In this case, he spoke about the bread. The bread that would never expire. Bread that would give them everlasting life. And that brings us right into the passage this morning. We're going to start with verse 34. And it says, then they said, sir, give us this bread always. They wanted the bread Jesus was talking about. The everlasting one, the one that won't go bad. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. When it comes to bread, I get very picky. If this was bread that never expired, sign me up. Because I'm one of those people, and I know not everybody's this way. But as soon as the expiration date hits on that bread, it's done. There is no more further using that bread. I'm over it. But bread that lasts forever, that'd be great. We have to remember they don't have refrigerators back then. They didn't have freezers like we do today. Preserving food was not exactly an easy process. So they had to work daily for their bread. constantly striving for their portion of nutrients that they needed for their body for the day. It is a one day at a time system. There's no meal prepping going on for the week like many do today. A friend of mine does all of his grilling on Sundays, and they just warm it up throughout the week for whatever they need. They didn't do that. So when he was talking about everlasting bread, this intrigued them. You mean I don't have to make this every day? It's just going to stay good? They were thinking in the physical sense. It was like the woman at the well. If you guys remember that far back, she asked Jesus to give her that living water so that she would never be thirsty again. She no longer would have to go to the well every day and draw water. She would be save her time and energy. And she no longer would have to do it. And she could avoid the other people. So when the crowd heard Jesus talking about this bread, again, they were thinking physical bread, just as the woman thought of physical water to make her lives easier. And again, this is nothing new. As King Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Even in our society today, we are concerned with having our daily bread. And often, I don't even mean food for us. We're always looking for things and striving for things that we believe will bring us joy. Our daily bread is for the things that bring us joy, the things that will bring us peace, fulfillment, and so forth. That's what we're often striving for. Things that we believe will make our lives easier. Do you guys remember the little haircut vacuum? What was that called? The Flow? Flowbee, that's it. That's it. You know, make your life easier. Give yourself a quick haircut on the go. The things we come up with to make try to make us have an easier life is amazing. But what do? We find ourselves working for things of this world. So much so that we allow this search to distract us from what Jesus is offering us. Just as the crowd in front of Jesus was missing the point of what he was offering them. You see, they were focused on their physical needs. They were thinking of what they believed would bring them happiness, what would make them content. But Jesus was talking about something greater. He was speaking about their spiritual needs. The need for them to look up to their Heavenly Father for their joy and fulfillment in life. He was talking about spiritual hunger. You know, we can become spiritually hungry in our lives. And I think many people in our world find themselves in that moment of being spiritually hungry. Often we become spiritually hungry in life. It's like we have no sense of purpose anymore or a sense of passion. We're not sure which way to turn. We may find ourselves lacking pleasure or joy in our lives, and we start searching the world for these things. When we find ourselves being spiritually hungry, we're called to look to Jesus. We're called to look to God's word. Spend time in prayer. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. But so often, that's not what we do. We forget that Jesus is the one who fills that hunger. Jesus is the one who gives us that bread. Too often, though, what do we end up doing? We start trying to fill that hunger with things of this world. We start looking for relationships, thinking, if only I have the right relationship, then I will feel fulfilled. We start looking to the world for what we believe will give us a sense of purpose. We start looking to the world for our sense of passion and joy. We start reaching for anything that may even have a resemblance of substance to fill us up. It's like the junk food of life is what we're reaching for. You know the Snickers commercials? They've done a great job on advertising, right? Hungry? Why wait? Grab a Snickers. And I mean, it sounds great, and I admit, I'm a big fan of Snickers. I shouldn't eat them, but I'm a big fan of them. But when you feel hunger coming on and you grab that Snickers, it only takes care of that hunger for a minute, doesn't it? It doesn't actually give you the nutrition for your body that you need. It doesn't actually fill you up the way that your body needs it. There's nothing there to sustain you. There's no real nutritional value in a candy bar. Sorry, kids. And if that is all you ate, It wouldn't take long for to have some real bad side effects start kicking into your life. If all you ate was candy bars all the time, all you ate was Snickers, you become very unhealthy very quickly. Why? Because there's no nutritional value there. That's the same thing that happens to us when we're spiritually hungry and we feed it with the junk food of life. You know, when we just sit there and we binge watch TV shows, endlessly scrolling on our phone, mindlessly reading through things online, even some of the books that we read, playing video games for hours on end, all of these things only give us this false sense and promise of rest and escape from life, but they don't fill us. Don't get me wrong, none of those things are necessarily bad. I love to read. I love to read articles. I love to read books. Occasionally play some video games. I'm not saying these things are bad or a sin, but if we try to feed ourselves spiritually with just these things, we're going to end up in a bad position. It's the junk food of life, because none of these things can give us true rest, a true escape, and true nutrition for ourselves. They don't sustain our soul. They're like the Snickers. They give us a temporary fix, but it's never truly enough, and it leaves our soul wanting more. That's what's going on in our culture today. We have people who are spiritually hungry, and they're looking at all the wrong places to find that hunger and to feed themselves. And because of this, we see lives being destroyed. We see families being destroyed, friendships torn apart. We see hurting people hurt people because they're not taking the time to allow God to transform them from the inside out. Here we see Jesus talking about that, is that he is the breath of life that fills us up. He is the one who gives us everything we need. He has the nutrition that we need for our soul. That joy, that sense of purpose that you've been searching for. If you're here this morning and that is something you've been searching for, I want you to know that Jesus has that for you. He's already provided it for you. And he gives it to us freely. He tells them, after they ask, give us this bread, he tells them in verse 35, I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. We all know that we need food and water to sustain us, that we need the nutritions for our bodies to keep us alive. It's one of the most basic human needs. And just like we need food and water for our bodies, we need the bread of life to sustain our souls. And Jesus is saying he is that bread. That if we go to him, we will no longer be spiritually hungry. That if we go to him and if we believe in him, that we will never thirst again. Because he fills us up. He satisfies our soul. And when we come to Jesus looking for that bread, looking for that food for our soul, we will be filled to the fullest. He tells us in verse 37, Everyone that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. What Jesus is saying inside of that moment. Everyone that seeks him earnestly, everyone that is coming after Jesus, the one who will allow the Holy Spirit to call them to Jesus, they can have assurance that as long as we seek him, he will not cast us out. As long as we're walking in relationship and we're after him, he will not abandon us, he will not give up on us, that he will sustain us our entire lives. He does this out of love for us, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And he does this out of love for us and out of love of our Heavenly Father has for us. He continues in verse 38 and he says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. Jesus again is giving us an example of how we're called to live our lives. That Jesus came down from heaven to do the will of his Father, not his own will, but the Father's will. He's reminding us that we're called to do the same, to do the will of our Heavenly Father. He reminds us that when we do the will of our Heavenly Father, we get to eat at the Father's table. We get to have the bread that he has given us, the bread of life. When we're doing the will of our Father, we find purpose. We find peace in our lives. We can find joy like never before inside of our life. He's reminding us that's the will of the Father for us to come into relationship with him. That it's the will of the Father that we eat of the everlasting bread. That it's the will of the Father that we have assurance of our salvation through Christ. That is the will of the Father, that our spiritual hunger and thirst are satisfied in Jesus alone. In verse 39 and 40, it says, "This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." What Jesus is saying inside of that moment, that those of us who seek him, those of us who believe what Jesus has done for us and have accepted that free gift of salvation, we can have that assurance of eternal life. That's what the bread of life gives us. That if we seek him earnestly, it's there. We don't have to question whether we're saved or not. That if we eat of the bread, spiritual bread that God has given us through his Son, that we will not be overcome by Satan, that we will be raised up on the last days with our Heavenly Father, and that we get to spend eternity with him. But this is not just talking about saying a prayer. This isn't just talking about saying some words and continuing to live our lives like we've always lived it. This isn't fire insurance. So often in our world, what do we like to do? Come say a prayer and then go out and continue living life how you've always lived it. That's not what Jesus is saying inside of this moment. He's not talking about a superficial commitment to Christ. He's not talking about just putting some words. He's talking about using our lives in action. This is saying that Jesus is enough for you. That of all the things in this world, that he is all that you need, putting him first. It's about being willing to pick up a cross each and every day, to carry the gospel message out, to allow him to come in and transform us from the inside out. He's the one who gives us peace. He's the one who gives us joy. He's the one who gives us purpose in our life. And it's through that sacrifice that we are made whole again. Jesus is talking about being willing to put away things of this world and come after him. That it's not just a one-time saying a prayer, but it's about dedicating our lives and allowing him to come in and transform us from the inside out. Remembering what Jesus said in John 14:6, it's not on the slide. Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Not everybody likes to hear that. Not everybody likes to hear that it's only through Jesus. And the people of Jesus' day didn't like to hear that. In fact, it tells us in verse 41, therefore the Jews started grumbling about him because he said, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven." They started grumbling about what Jesus was saying. The audacity of Jesus to claim in their mind was blasphemy. They understood when Jesus said that he came down from heaven, he was saying he was God and he was equal to God. They understood that concept. Jesus continued, they continued to speak in verse 42, and it says, "And then they were saying, 'Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven?'" One of the issues inside of this moment was answering the question of where did Jesus come from? You see, they knew his parents were Mary and Joseph. What they didn't seem to understand was the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin. That Jesus didn't come to be like typically babies are come to be. Because they didn't understand this, though, they started grumbling. And this grumbling would be the modern-day equivalent of hissing and booing. Can you imagine booing Jesus? Wouldn't be a good idea. You see, they liked the idea of Jesus. They liked what he offered. They liked that they fed them. They liked that he took care of their illnesses and that he fixed and did all of that fun stuff for them. But they did not like the idea of him being God. The reason they didn't like the idea of him being God is the same reason so many people don't want to say yes to Jesus today. Because if they acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, it means they have to change their life. It means that their life has to be changed in the work of the Holy Spirit within them, and they didn't want to change from where they were. That's why they were grumbling. Because if they acknowledged him as Lord, that means everything changed. And that's so often even in our society today. Many people like what Jesus offers, but they don't want to change their way of living. Jesus responds in verse 43, and he says, "Stop your grumbling among yourselves." He told them to knock it off. They can grumble all they want. It doesn't change the truth, does it? The world can complain about the gospel all they want, but it doesn't change it. The truth is the truth. The word of God is the word of God. You know, the word of God is meant to transform us from the inside out. But so often people want to transform the word of God. That's not how it works. You can't change the word of God. It is set. God spoke it into being. It is there. In verse 44 and 46, it continues, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws me, and I will raise him up on the last day." 45 says, "It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God, and everyone who has listened to and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God has seen the Father." You see, a person does not come to Jesus if he's not drawn by God, taught by God, heard from God, or learned from God. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. We do not save anyone. We do not save ourselves. We don't save anyone around us. If we could do that, there would have been absolutely no point in Jesus coming. There would have been absolutely no point of Jesus coming to the cross if we could save ourselves or others. It's only by the blood of Jesus that we're saved. It's only by the tug of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we're drawn to our Heavenly Father. But that's why we share the gospel with others. We present the good news so that they may hear and that they may see the goodness of God. And allow the Holy Spirit to start working in their lives. Jesus was stressing the importance of having spiritual food, not just merely hearing his words, but learning what they mean, allowing them to guide their lives, allowing them to be the source of joy, peace, and understanding, allowing us to find purpose in him. And it's through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it's through his teachings that we are transformed from the inside out. When God starts pulling on you, calling out that sin in your life, where you're never feeling comfortable and you're trying to justify it, there's a reason God is doing that. It's because he loves you, he desires you, and he's trying to transform you. It says in verse 47, "Truly I tell you, anyone who believes has eternal life." Important for us to understand that word "believes" inside of this statement. It's not just talking about a one-time belief. Jesus isn't just saying you got to believe one time, say the prayer, and move on. No, what he's saying is it's making a decision every day. It's constantly choosing to go after Jesus. That just having that one taste isn't enough. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. There's people who come up front, they say a prayer, and they continue their life like nothing ever happened. They weren't saved at that moment. They had an encounter with God and they walked away. There's many stories within the Bible of people who have that moment, that encounter with Jesus, but they never allow him to transform their life. I praise God every day that he transformed mine. And I pray that he's transformed yours, that you're not satisfied with where you've been, but you want so much more of him, that you want that bread of life that he has to offer. Because that's what God has given us. That's what Jesus has done. And we need to get up each and every day and make a choice to follow Jesus. That our lives are called to be a reflection of him. That if our lives more reflect the world than Jesus, we have a problem. If our lives reflect the world more than Jesus, we have a problem. We need to allow him to come in, transform us, renew us. Knowing that he's the source of everything good in our lives. He's what sustains us. He's what gives us our life. 48 through 50, he says, "I am the bread of life. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that anyone may eat of it and not die." Jesus is saying that no one else but him has the ability to give us everlasting life. That there's nothing in this world that can sustain us like he does. Yes, the Israelites may have ate the manna in the wilderness, but that just covered their physical and temporary need. But Jesus is offering us something that is not temporal, but something that lasts for all of eternity. That we're not just to come and see him, that we're not just to have a moment with him, but to take it all in and eat of the bread that he offers us. Each and every day, continuously search for him and wanting more of him, and he'll give it to you. He will help you in that growth. He finishes up in verse 51, and he says, I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. When Jesus said that he is offering up his flesh, Jesus is talking about giving up his body to die on the cross so that we could live forever. To eat it up, the living bread, means to accept Jesus into our lives and become united with him, not just a moment, but for everything we do. We are united in Christ in two different ways. One is believing in his death and resurrection and the sacrifice he made on the cross. The second is devoting ourselves each and every day to live as he's asked us, trusting his word, giving us the scriptures as our guiding light, allowing the Holy Spirit to show us what we need to do in our lives. We know the people of Jesus' day, the Jews of their day, depended on the bread for daily strength and nourishment. We're called to do the same thing with Jesus, to trust in him for our daily bread, for our strength, and for our nourishment. And the only way we get there is by spending time for him. The way that we grow is by spending time with him, searching our hearts, reading God's word, being in prayer, asking him to guide us, trusting the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. I want to challenge you guys this week as you guys go out to be intentional about taking in the daily bread. Being intentional of being in prayer with Jesus each and every day. Being intentional to be in his word. Being intentional to allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of you. To listen for that still small voice that you can become who Christ has called you to be. Knowing that he's paid much too high a price. And this morning, if you find yourself here, searching the world for all your joy and peace, if you've been searching the world for your passion, I want to encourage you to look to Jesus. Because he's all you actually need. All those things you've been searching the world for, he has it there with an open hand ready to give it to you. The question is, do you want it? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come to you, to worship you, to praise you. Father, we thank you for your son and the gift that he's given us up on that cross. Father, we thank you that he is the bread of life and that we may freely come to you. May our hearts and minds be after you today. In Jesus' name, amen. As you go out this week, I encourage you to seek Jesus in all that you do, to let his light shine among you, around you. May you search your hearts and minds on what you're holding back from him. May you eat of that bread. And may you prepare your hearts and minds for next Sunday as we take communion, one of the greatest honors we have as believers in fellowship. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.